Blog Talk Radio.
Thrust upon us as a people, and
as a nation, as Hebrew Israelites, and as people that want to see change, because we respect the plan of the Most High, and we know that we must cry out loud and spare not, because this gospel must be preached to the four corners of the earth. And that other gospel has been preached all over the place, and Christ has not come yet. So it's plain to see that there is a truth that must be heralded and that we must bring forth. And so we do that by bringing you information about how to fight for your health, how to maintain your relationship with the Father. Some people like to say how to be spiritual, how to be religious. We don't preach religion. That was created to conquer and divide and keep people asleep from coming into the knowledge of the truth. We preach statutes, laws, and commandments. We debunk all the myths and theories of so-called science, which is another fallacy, and the foundational beliefs of a lot of these false religions that are steeped into paganism, witchcraft, and man's vain ideologies and philosophies, and that have nothing to do with the truth. And so we're all about turning pages, digging deeper, and never remaining at one juncture of fighting against other people. We do believe in love and everything that comes as a gift of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. And we're not talking about a love where you're skipping through the daisies, because real love is one that speaks truth, cuts asunder, divides, and has no concern, over the top concern, for how you're going to receive truth, because truth, majority of the times, hurts, and no one wants to accept it. Everyone wants you to allow them to stay in their little microcosm, their world, and their bubble, and not to jostle that. But when it comes to truth, and we here at Social Change Action Network, we like to tell it just like it is. So for a while, we will not be dealing with current events, because too many people are prognosticating lies, false prophets, trying to tell you what's getting ready to happen, what's coming from the sky. And we know a long time ago the Father said, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down having great wrath." So I can tell you this, evil's already here and very much present. And what's coming is actually coming to save those who are looking up and are keeping the faith. So know that what's coming is coming to save those that are looking up, that have their eyes towards the sky and waiting on their redemption, the redemption that is coming. And there's going to be recompense coming with this redemption. There's going to be recompense. There's going to be injustice shall be dealt with when that is coming returns. So once again, this is the Social Change Action Network, and we want to get back to where we started. Last week, we began this study between the testaments and debunking this theory that there was nothing happening with the Hebrews or in the so-called Bible world or from heaven or within the regions in between the Old Testament and New Testament. I don't even know where that lie came from. But we left off when we started talking about the Persian period. So that was the period. You'll notice that there's different periods throughout this time, and you'll see evil forces and adversaries at work in each period with different nations, not different colors of people, but different nations of people. So I really admonish you, if you're just catching this show for the first time, to go to the first show so that you can get all the information. We started that show during the Feast of Trumpets, and we will be coming on every Shabbat, every Sabbath, that's every Saturday, and midweek to try and keep the information going. But I encourage you to go through the shows from the beginning to the end so that you will have a connect, not a disconnect, of this information. On Saturday we left off talking about Persia's failure to conquer Greece. Failure to conquer Greece encouraged subject peoples to seek their independence. Now, Egypt was constantly attempting to throw off the Persian yoke and Judea. Geographically between the two powers did not escape involvement. During the reign of Artaxerxes III, who was also known as Oxus, many Jews were implicated in a revolt against Persia. Now, when it failed, the Persians deported them to Babylonia, and the southern shores of the Caspian Sea. Jews had long been in Egypt following the murder of Gedaliah. The prophet Jeremiah was forced to join a group of refugees who sought asylum at Tapanes in the Eastern Delta. You can find a precept for that in Jeremiah, the 43rd chapter, 4 through 13. Now, this is a time of scattering, not the time in 70 AD where we fled from Babylon to Timbuktu and we made Africa our middle passage, because this is before the time of Christ. Okay? Other Judeans doubtless found their way to Egypt to avoid capture by Nebuchadnezzar. The migration continued during the Persian period, and by the 5th century before Christ, a Jewish colony of mercenary soldiers was located at Elephantine Island near modern Aswan at the first cataract of the Nile. Contrary to the Mosaic law, these colonists built a temple for themselves, and they combined their devotion to the god of their fathers with pagan elements. The Elephantine Jews had correspondence with the Samaritans as well as the Judeans, and this is where you begin to see the corruption and combining the synthesis of religious beliefs, where they're trying to combine the things that they've learned about the gods of our fathers with their pagan rituals as well. And this is where you see, as we begin to move into a time where the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Seleucids and all these different people come into play, and we find out how there's corruption, how corruption comes about. And we're going to cover that when we get to the book of Maccabees, and we go through each book, first and second Maccabees, that is, and we talk about the corruption and how it actually was there by the time Christ had come on the scene. And we have these people that Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9 speaks of that still exist, that are still around. Now, what I want to get into right now is some people figure that this time of Alexander the Great with the Greeks has a lot to do with mythology. But he was an actual Hellenistic, who brought Hellenism in, ruler that conquered during that time. And he was an heir of Greek culture. So we want to get into this, too, because this also took place between these testaments. Persia never succeeded in subduing the Greeks, but an heir of Greek culture, Alexander of Macedon, eventually brought to an end the Persian Empire. Alexander was not simply a power-mad despot. He was a pupil of the philosopher Aristotle. He was thoroughly convinced that Greek culture was the one force that could unify the world. Let's pause. One world government. There is nothing new, ladies and gentlemen, that's under the sun. It's been attempted. Nothing new under the sun. In 333 BC, very interesting time, he passed from Macedonia into Asia Minor and defeated the Persian armies stationed there. Then he moved southward through Syria and Palestine to Egypt. Tyre and Gaza each offered stubborn resistance, but delays did not discourage Alexander. They simply strengthened his determination to win. There was no need for a campaign against the Jews, and indeed, legend makes Alexander a friend of the Jewish people. Very interesting. Jaddua, the high priest, is said to have come out to meet Alexander, telling him of Daniel's prophecy that the Greek army would be victorious. You can find that in Daniel's, the 8th chapter. And these are the precepts and the connects that people don't make with the scriptures and with history, and then with some stuff you have to extract from so-called mythology. Things that have been taken away out of our books, and books that have been taken away from us from the Nicene Church, the Protestants, the Catholic Church, and they have all these records. Our records hidden in a vault somewhere, because there's too much truth and information in these books, and they don't want you to know who you are. They want you to stay asleep, because we are under the curses that said we would be asleep until his time of return, which we're coming upon very soon, which is why the whole world is at chaos, because there's a transition about to take place.
Now, although historians do not take the story seriously, it does illustrate the friendly feelings between the Jews and the Macedonian conqueror, because we were on a downswing then because of Deuteronomy 28. Alexander permitted the Jews to observe their laws, granted them exemption from tribute during sabbatical years, during the Shabbat. And when he built Alexandria in Egypt, 331 B.C., he encouraged Jews to settle there and gave them privileges comparable to those of his Greek subjects. This is at this time where we're being scattered and we're everywhere, blending in with the Gentiles. Alexander was welcomed into Egypt as a deliverer from Persian oppression. His victorious armies retraced their steps through Palestine and Syria, then moved eastward. The cities of Babylon and Persia fell to Alexander, and he pressed on as far as the Punjab region of India. Although mighty in battle, it was not Hellenistic culture rather than Macedonian rule that was Alexander's legacy to the Middle East. He determined to found a new city in each country of his empire, which would serve as a model for the reordering of the life of the country as a whole along Greek lines. This is why you have so-called countries, why Babylon in America is infiltrating so many different countries in the name of so-called democracy. And the news is blacking out what's really taking place in these countries and what's being established in the murder and the rape. There is nothing new under the sun. Materially speaking, this meant the erection of fine public buildings. This is what was offered when they broke down and destroyed a country and brought in what they wanted to bring in. The material gains. It's just like Satan always offering the entire world if you bow down and worship. Materially speaking, this meant the erection of fine public buildings, a gymnasium for games, the Olympic Games, worship to Greek gods, an open-air theater, and whatever would approximate the life of a Greek city-state. Individuals were encouraged to take Greek names. This is why I tell everybody, like in the last show, that the Bible, our history records, which they compiled to call the Bible, were written in Hebrew. King James authorized Greek because he knew we were going to lose our original language and culture and heritage as we were being chased out by Rome and by the Greeks, and he was destroyed and killed. Individuals were encouraged to take Greek names, adopt the Greek dress, and the Greek language, in short, to become Hellenized. The material aspects of Hellenism must have seemed attractive for large segments of the population. Trade and commerce brought wealth to the new merchant class. Libraries and schools were welcomed by the scholars. Better housing, better food brought about a rise in the standard of living. Many in Israel, as elsewhere, were glad to accept the veneer of Greek culture. This sounds so familiar. I hope you're paying attention to this. And this is in 331 B.C. If idolatry had been the stumbling block to Israel in the pre-exilic period, Hellenism was the great post-exilic temptation. A 3rd century B.C. writer observed, in recent times, under the foreign rule of the Persians and then of the Macedonians, by whom the Persian Empire was overthrown. Intercourse with other races had led to many of the traditional Jewish ordinances losing their hold. Oh, Selah, I have to pause for a second. But we know the Most High forbid for us to mingle with other nations, for he said that this one nation has he only loved because this was the only nation he had ever known. And he forbid, and you will find that in the Apocrypha, in the books of Esdras, that he forbid for us to intermingle with other nations. But now you have multiculturalism on the rise and the encouragement to just blend everything because this whole world system is synergistic. blend everything so that you lose everything and adopt what they want you to have. And there's a purpose behind all this. I'm going to let the Spirit speak to you, but there's nothing new under the sun. Let me go back to this. Intercourse with other races had led to many of the traditional Jewish ordinances. We're talking about Hebrews, not those Jews over there that aren't who they say they are. Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9, I can't emphasize that enough, losing their home. Many Jews took Greek names, accepted a school of Greek philosophy, Plato, Socrates, Hume, man's ideologies and vain philosophies, his wisdom, which is as dung to the Most High, and tried to combine the wisdom of Greece with the faith of their fathers. You know, we got preachers that do that today on TV that use philosophy and blend it in their sermons, and people sit there just baffled, stunned, are amazed, are praising that person, saying, oh, they're wise. And preaching is it's something you can't explain. It's foolishness to most. There's a power that's in it. Now, listen, there were some. Others resisted Hellenism. And became more and more engrossed in the study of their law. I'm so sick and tired of people trying to take us away from the law, especially the Sabbath, when it makes it clear that after Christ died, he did not abolish the Sabbath or the law. But the disciples went around to the Gentiles teaching and collecting money on Sundays and told them, and the people would tell them, can we come and hear you teach the law on the next Sabbath? Everybody wants to say you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore, but, you know, I don't see you going around saying all that's done away with as far as me sleeping with your wife. I can sleep with your wife. I can covet. I can idolize. And I can go kill somebody right now if I feel like it, even though there's a lot of you doing that. And then you think it's going to be okay in grace, but you'll be judged for that. The only judgment that doesn't exist anymore is that you were done away with. But I don't want to get off track. We'll deal with that at another time, because this is not a Sabbath teaching. We're covering the times in between the Testaments, and we're covering the period right now after Persia. We're moving right now into Alexander the Great. And you can do a lot of studying and research about Alexander the Great, too, because a lot of people believe that's Abaddon, Apollyon, and that he was a child of one of the great gods, that he was a Nephilim. So there's a lot to research there. At the age of 33, Alexander died. And this is where a lot of people try to liken him to Christ and say that, yeah, he died at the same age and then he rose and he's a god, et cetera, et cetera. For a number of years, the future of the Near East was uncertain, but the generals succeeded in dividing the empire among themselves, and the tide of Hellenism increased with the Ptolemies of Egypt and the Seleucids of Syria fought among themselves for land and power. They were in complete agreement concerning their social and cultural mission. Our social change structure and idea is to bring you back to holiness, back to the Father, back to righteousness, back to loving your neighbor, that you love yourself, respecting your neighbor, loving the Most High, getting this earth back to its original creation in this world that's lost its way because of the infiltration of so many just out-of-the-way philosophies and idealism and paganism that has just thrown people off. But people are lost and confused. We're in police states and we're brainwashed, been tricked into believing that there's something to be offered in this life, in this world. You know, the American dream, apple pie, white picket fence. Wake up, red pill, blue pill. Which one will it be? The historian W.W. Tarn says that Alexander so changed the world that nothing after him could be as it was before. It's amazing information.
We're just about out of time, so I don't even want to move into it right now. This coming Saturday, we'll move into the next era, which is around 320 BC, which was the time of the Ptolemies, which came about following the death of Alexander. And Judea was first subject to Antigonus, one of his generals, but it quickly fell to another general. So we want to pick that up on the Sabbath. And as I mentioned, we're going to stay here for a while, let you know that we'll be covering this time period after that, the Seleucids of 199 BC. And then after that, we'll get into the Maccabean Revolt. We'll spend some time in Maccabean scriptures. Then we'll get into the Hasmoneans. Then we'll get into the Romans and that particular time period of Herod and Julius Caesar, which is, of course, preparing the way for Christ, which leads us to the New Testament and chronological order and an understanding of the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, and other different sects to help you piece together some of this missing history that you're not going to hear about at Sunday school, in your church, in the news, about politics, how this all came about. What this is all about, this actually covers a lot of the times that we live in with these leaders and these political figures and this divide and conquer and the structuring of a new world order and to try and bring the masses into chaos where they feel like they can develop order out of chaos. We're seeing riots everywhere, and according to them, things are going just as they planned. But there will be divine intervention. Believe it. Thanks for tuning in to the Social Change Action Network. We look forward to having you tune in again on Saturday at about 8:30 Pacific Standard Time, my Shabbat Shalom show. And I pray that you're keeping the faith, that you're remaining strong. And as we always say here, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. So when you come to the conversation, be prepared to take up your anchor so that you can sail away into the knowledge that is freedom and truth. Shalom.